Holiday magic is in the air, and DSW's got all the shoes to make your season extra merry. Believe, you've got parties to attend and lists to check twice, so DSW is taking care of the details, like gifts to make their eyes all aglow, styles that bring joy to your world, brands everyone wants, like UGG, Nike, Birkenstock, and more, and deals to make your budget bright. Find the perfect shoes for you and yours at a DSW store near you or DSW.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
6:13 now. It's going to feel a little Christmassy today. Highs of 64, but then over the weekend, it'll be more like Easter, really. 71 for a high on Saturday, 74 on Sunday. It warms the mid-70s until next Thursday when it drops to the mid-50s again and hangs that way for the weekend. And by then, we'll be pretty close to Christmas Day itself. Right now, you average a temperature, it's about 47 degrees. It feels like 41. And Mark Hamrick joins us, Bankrate senior economic analyst, talk about a new survey that they have about Americans and their optimism about their own personal financial situation. How you doing, Mark?
Doing well, sir. Happy Friday, and dare I say the 13th while we're taking note.
You know, I was saying that, Mark, earlier, after here, Katrina and COVID on Friday the 13th. You know what I mean? We've seen the worst of it.
Don't show me
a ladder. Don't show me a black cat. After Katrina and a levee failure and COVID and what that did to the economy and everybody, I don't care about Friday the 13th. Let's talk about the survey that Bankrate did. Tell me what it shows.
Yeah, but this is something we do every year, Tommy, or at least we have for several years, and that is just simply to ask Americans how they view the outlook for their money in the coming year, their personal finances. Obviously, that encompasses a lot, you know, how much money they may have or is coming in, how they're balancing their debt. Most people have at least some debt, whether it's a mortgage or a car payment, something like that, credit card debt. And so what's interesting this time around, what's unique about this time around, is that a growing percentage of Americans believe their personal finances will improve in 2025. So what is that percentage? It's 44%. Last year it was 37%. But think about the fact that 44%, well, that's not more than half. That's fewer than half. And so 23% think their finances will get worse next year, and 33% think they'll probably be about the same. And those who are most optimistic are the youngest adults, Generation Z, most optimistic. Those are people age 18 to 27. And there you do have a majority, 55%. The least optimistic is baby boomers. They are 60 to 78 years of age. And to some degree, I think that's understandable from the vantage point of their financial trajectories are more established, less likely to change very much. And of course, for younger adults, particularly those who are working, they stand a good prospect of improving their plight, if not just in the next year over time.
You know, as I hear that, I wonder about if it's not because the younger generation is looking at that on a hot day. They're looking at that road and they say, oh, look, there's water. But yet the older generation is further down the road and they're thinking, there's no water there. What are you kidding? You crazy? Keep thinking about that. Keep dreaming about that. When it comes to the younger generation, the what are we calling them now, millennials?
Gen Z is the youngest.
Is it because, Mark, or does Bankrate know, is it because they feel as though things can't get any worse, so they've got to get better, or did they give any specific reasons for their optimism?
Well, we don't do that in this survey specifically in terms of optimism overall, but I can tell you why, generally speaking, people did think that their financial fortunes would be improving. And the number one reason, these are all basically economic or financial related, the top reason is people see lower levels of inflation. And that's measured, of course, in terms of the recent trends, both year over year, month over month. We know over the last several months it's been a little bit stickier, at least with the consumer price index. But obviously, we still have elevated prices, broadly speaking, and so that's complicated. Elsewhere, and this is what I referred to earlier, rising income, employment, Social Security, pension can be a source of that, less debt that people are carrying, better spending habits. So I think, you know, everybody has varying levels of financial literacy or know-how, and a lot of this is learning by doing and maybe even having, you know, just the experience of managing funds. You go on down the list, better spending habits, work done by elected officials. This is an interesting one because there is some optimism that is possessed, particularly on the part of people who identify as Republicans. So some people are thinking, well, new administration, a Congress that's controlled by Republicans, they view that as a positive. But then you go and look at, well, why won't your finances improve for those who are less optimistic or not thinking their prospects are going to get any better? We come back to kind of the same reason, just viewed through a different lens, and that is 44% said high inflation. We have had high inflation. Then the number two reason why people are not positive about the outlook is, here we go again, work done by elected officials. So some people are thinking the political environment, I'm thinking Washington, is not going to be conducive for their financial best interests. Others cite stagnant or reduced income. Some people cite debt levels, personal debt, and some people say money from savings or other investments. So a variety of different causes. You asked about Gen Z, though, and we do, you know, survey people all the time, and so I have a sense about the outlook that people have, and particularly the differences among age groups. First of all, if you're in the youngest cohort, you probably are still thinking about the big wide world out there and that there's a lot of opportunity, or at least we would hope that a good number of people in that group would be viewing it that way. Some are just sort of getting launched, whether they're learning a skill, going to college, maybe moving out of their parents' house. So I think there is reason, credible reason for optimism on the part of younger people, but obviously they have to seize the opportunities that are out there.
How often do you do these surveys, Mark? The reason I'm asking is, one thing that I thought of is, if you ask somebody in November, December, and when was this conducted?
Mm-hmm.
When was this?
Right after the election.
Right, so in November.
Right after the election.
I'm thinking if you ask people, are you going to lose weight next year? Absolutely. Are you going to get in shape? You betcha. Does it happen? I don't know. And I just wonder about, at that time of year, if they're thinking, yeah, I'm going to get my financial house in order. And we can pick it up when we come back. Am I going to get my financial house in order? Are things going to get better? Yes, absolutely. Then that credit card statement rolls in after Christmas spending, and it's like, holy moly, here we go down the road again. Mark Hamrick is our guest, Bankrate Senior Economic Analyst. I've not gotten a response yet via text that says they think their financial situation is going to get better. I have no idea what demographic group is texting in, whether it's Generation Z, Millennials, Generation X, or Baby Boomers. But I would like to hear from you at 504-260-1870. One other thing I'll address with Mark when we come back. I think sometimes people conflate inflation rate with prices, and the prices are already high, and they're not going to come down. I think the level of increase of the prices may stabilize, or the level of increase may decrease, if that makes sense. But I don't think the prices themselves are going to come down. We'll talk more when we come back. 621 traffic now, WWL. 626, Tommy Tucker, WWL, Friday morning, Friday the 13th, and we're talking about the economic outlook, your feelings about it for 2025, and do you think your economic outlook is going to get better? And Mark, you know, again, I don't know what demos are texting in, but I've not gotten one response, and I don't know if it's regional or not, but from people thinking their economic situation is going to improve. Tell me about, do you think people might be, I don't know if there's any way to say this other than anecdotally, that people might be conflating inflation rate with prices, because I don't think prices are going to come down, really, are they?
Well, those are two. There's more than one question associated
Jump
with the observation
you're
making, which is obviously based on a correct notion that there are two different things we're talking about. Inflation is the recent or long-term rate, and the elevated prices or prices generally are a consequence of that. But it's more complicated than that because, first of all, as we look at the broadest measurements of the economy, which include inflation and wages have been growing at a rate over the last year and a half that has been higher than the recent rate of inflation. And so people are recapturing some lost buying power, but as the saying goes, your results may vary. In other words, that's not true for everyone, but that's true as you measure wage growth and inflation. But there are differences between long-term inflation and short-term inflation, and so I would point to some of the long-term changes, as well as some that are associated with those long-term and short-term. Housing affordability has been a problem in this country, and it's only gotten worse in recent years. Access and the cost of higher education, much the same. The cost of health care, and by the way, bad outcomes with the fact that we're paying more for health care in this country than any other major nation in the world, but the outcomes are not as good. So there are a lot of things that we can focus on. But let me mention some things that people are focusing on in terms of their resolve for the coming year. So it's both a looking at goals as well as truly New Year's resolutions for a lot of people, whether they actually do it, another question. But the number one goal that people have for the coming year is to pay down debt. I think that's very prudent when credit card debt remains very expensive. The average new offer for the best qualified people, the people with the highest credit scores, is still above 20% annual rate of interest. Otherwise, we see people prioritizing saving more for emergencies and to get a better paying job. And all of those, among those who identified a financial goal, here's where the rubber seems to hit the road. 43% said they are going to make that an immediate priority, and that is a New Year's resolution they hope to address right away. So that's good news that people are identifying things that they want to do, that they can do with their finances, and they're being serious about it. What's not great is 10% said they don't even have a financial goal, which I would say, you know, if you're not even trying to solve the problem or maybe they don't know even where to begin, that's another issue.
Mark, I'm glad you said that because I was thinking earlier, I always tell people it's hard enough to hit a target if you're aiming at it. If you're not aiming at it, you're just scatter shooting, right? So if you were to advise people, generally speaking, first couple of steps toward getting their financial house in order, what, pay down credit card debt?
Credit card debt's the most expensive debt. That's an easy return on your money quickly. So just try to pay that off or don't accumulate in the first place if that's possible.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and everything else.
6:30. You too. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take a break. Come back. Talk to Congressman Garrett Graves right now. Time for WWL First News. All right, it's 6:53, 7 till 7, joined by Congressman Garrett Graves. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, Tommy, I'm doing well. How about you?
I am okay. Somebody texted in and said, tell Congressman Graves, thanks for getting rid of the windfall elimination provision, penalizes civil servants that receive pensions, Social Security's reduced. You wrote the bill, it passed in the House, and is now going to the Senate next week. So people are paying attention, Garrett.
Yeah, this is a big deal. This has been going on for 40 years now. We've been trying to get this thing fixed. And first time ever, it's passed the House of Representatives and now on the cusp of getting through the Senate and getting to the president's desk.
Tell me what the House has unanimously approved as it relates to disaster recovery.
Yeah, Tommy, this is just amazing. There was an Inspector General report that came out a few months ago that said that FEMA has over $70 billion in unprocessed claims, effectively. And so what this means is if the city of New Orleans, if Jefferson Parish has submitted claims to FEMA to have reimbursements for debris removal, reimbursements to help rebuild pump stations from flooding and things like that, FEMA's sitting on the claims. We found claims dating all the way back to Hurricane Katrina. And so what happens is that it's not an option to not pay these things. So you end up having communities that are cutting other government services in order to foot the bill for FEMA. And so what we did is we said, you know, we've got to change this equation. We flipped it over to where FEMA has to pay an interest cost. They have to cover interest costs for all delays. So if the city of New Orleans, if Jefferson Parish, if St. John Parish, St. Charles wants to instead say, look, we're going to pay it, but we're going to go get a loan from the bank to cover these costs so our citizens aren't suffering from other lost government services. We have to cut $20 million from here to pay this FEMA cost. Now FEMA's on the hook for it. So every day they delay is going to cost FEMA more money. So we're trying to flip over the incentive mechanism and have FEMA have an incentive to process claims quickly, not sit on them for decades.
655, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Representative Garrett Graves. Let me talk about this $70 to $71 billion. You know, pretty soon you'll be talking about real money, Garrett. Of unprocessed claims, has that money been allocated? Is there a pile of $70 or $71 billion sitting somewhere that FEMA has yet to spend, or is that money got to be allocated by Congress? I'm just wondering about the process there.
Isn't that amazing? So the Inspector General report indicates that this money that is effectively sitting in the bank. And so what it does, Tom, is it begs the question. You hear FEMA out there saying, oh, we need more money to cover cost in Florida for Hurricane Francine, for Hurricane Helene and Hurricane Milton. We obviously have some damages from Hurricane Francine in Louisiana. So FEMA is now begging Congress, the White House is begging Congress for tens of billions of dollars, maybe even in excess of $100 billion, ultimately for FEMA to receive as a result of these new hurricanes. And I'm scratching my head saying, wait a minute, you've got over $70 billion sitting in the bank right now. If those claims you obviously think aren't important, why are you suddenly coming and asking Congress for tens of billions or $100 billion more?
Not to mention, and again, you know, I'm just a dumb West Bank guy that's got a couple $100 in the Whitney Bank, and I see what that generates in interest. But $71 billion, I got to believe, Garrett, is generating some income in and of its own, right? And where's that going?
Well, so dollars like that are supposed to be invested in what they refer to as Treasury resources, T-bills, and things like that. Mm-hmm. In some cases, those dollars, those interests, payments go directly back into the fund. In other cases, they go into a general fund of the United States government, but they definitely are drawing interest. But you raise a great point. You know, is the current mechanism actually incentivize FEMA to not pay because they're generating more money off of the dollars on the backs of disaster victims that have already been through a hurricane or a forest fire or other type of catastrophe. This is once again, and Tommy, I've used this term when you and I have spoken in the past, but it's once again our own federal government re-victimizing disaster victims because of their bureaucracy, and there's just not an incentive for them to actually perform efficiently. It's not like it's a competition where if they don't do it well, somebody else is going to come in and take it over and do the job. And that's what this legislation tries to do, is to flip that over to actually begin incentivizing appropriate work or efficient work, and rather than allowing them to sit back and have these claims sitting out there for years or decades.
I see a story mentioning you as maybe the new head of FEMA. FEMA administers flood insurance. Would you be interested in that job? Has anybody approached you about that job? And let's start there, and then we'll go to flood insurance.
Yeah, look, so we've had folks reach out asking about our interest. We've had a number of folks that have recommended that we do that job to the Trump transition team. Tommy, I kind of have mixed feelings. Do I think I could do it well? Do I know the FEMA process and where their problems are? Do I think I could go in there and blow it up? Yes. Do I think that I would get incredibly frustrated? Yes. Am I a good bureaucrat? No. I'm concerned I probably would get fired after about a month for actually fixing and doing things.
Hang on a minute now.
So not real sure.
From what, and look, I'm just talking about flood insurance. That's why I'm advocating for you here, Garrett. That's why I'm trying to convince you to take the job. But it seems like there could be a mentality in Washington right now to blow it up, right? I mean, if you look at Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy and whoever these other people are, I mean, maybe you could make some headroads into FEMA. What do you think?
Yeah, now is definitely the time, I think, to do some of these bigger reforms and really shake things up. I just think that the position is going to need some law changes. I don't think it's structured properly. It's buried in Department of Homeland Security. Congressman Moskowitz of Florida and I have legislation to pull it out, make it a cabinet-level agency to where it is that important, maybe even combining it with the Corps of Engineers by taking them out of the Department of Defense. I don't think it's relevant for them to be there anymore. So I do think some of these really big ideas that could make fundamental change, now is the time. But I'll say it again. I do think
you're the guy. Get President Trump's ear and get it done. Happy holidays, Garrett.
Hey, thanks, Tommy. You too. Take care.